I pray that this day will be a blessing to you. Father God, we reach out to you in the name of Jesus and ask you, God, that as we speak your word, that someone will hear and be encouraged and be blessed. We thank you for our lives. We thank you for the victory that's in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is a wonderful scripture in Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember all those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Remember your leaders who taught you from the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. Jesus Christ is the same, hallelujah, yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. We have an altar from the priest in the tabernacle, have no right to eat. Under the old system, the high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin, and the bodies of the animals were burned outside the camp. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. So let us go out to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace he bore. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. Hallelujah. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That will certainly not be for your profit. Amen to the Lord. God is so good to us. I I rejoice in him every day of my life. I bless the Lord. The Bible says, bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will be continually in my mouth. This particular section of Hebrews is what I call a practical section, and it continues with six exhortations concerning graces that should be developed. First is love of the brethren. There should be a sense of family relationship towards all true Christians, and a recognition of his kinship by loving words and action. Oh, my beloved, that's what the Hebrew writer said. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. We got to keep on loving each other. I look at this political field and I see a lot of hate going around, name calling, negative advertising. I don't care how bad you want to be the president of the United States. Fine, but you ought to learn first to love one another and not degrade people. This would cause no good if you have degradation in your heart. Love, the Hebrew writer said. And then the Hebrew writer said in verse 2, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels even without realizing it. My God, you are urged, according to God's word, to show hospitality to strangers. This might even refer primarily to believers who were fleeing at the time from persecution and were hard-pressed to find food and lodging. To entertain them was to expose the host and hostess to danger. I'm telling you, we're living in a time when we must show more concern for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. This verse could also be understood as a general encouragement to show hospitality to any believer who needs it. There's always the thrilling responsibility that in doing this, we may unwittingly entertain angels. Hallelujah. God can send somebody our way, one of his angelic beings in personified in human form, and they come to make sure that we are on our toes. Hallelujah, somebody. Hey, you understand that God is good, and in his goodness, he expects us to be likewise good. In all that we do, he expects us to walk the godly walk that he has provided for us. I give God praise. I give God glory for his goodness and his continued mercy. Then he said, remember also those remember those in prison as if you were there yourself, mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own body. My beloved, we got to understand that though we may not be locked up, but if there's a true Christian anywhere in our world locked up because of their stance as a believer, and if they're being beaten, or even mistreated, we have to feel their pain because we belong to the same body. we can't say, well, I'm glad that didn't happen to me. We have to recognize that if it happened to any believer, it's happening to us. And this is almost certainly means those who were jailed because of their testimony for Christ. They will need food, warm clothing, reading material, and encouragement. The temptation would be for other believers to shield ourselves from association with prisoners and thus from the danger of guilt by association. They should remember that in visiting prisoners, they were visiting Christ. I'm saying to you, my beloved, we may have many behind the walls, and we have to be sympathetic for their flight. We must recognize that if they're in prison for their testimony, then we too are in prison. And then the Hebrew writer says, give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Marriage should be held in honor by all. We should remember that it was instituted by God before sin entered the world. And that is His holy will for mankind. It is God's will that we would treat marriage as clean and honorable. To treat it as unclean, as ascetics do, or even to make jests and puns about it, as Christians sometimes do, are alike forbidden in the Word of God. Those who are married should be faithful to their vows. They should keep the marriage bed undefiled. In spite of modern man's smug laxness in this area, the fact remains in the Word of God that any sexual relations outside the bonds of marriage is a sin. Adultery is not sickness, it is a sin. Let me say that again. Adultery is not sickness, it is a sin. And it is a sin which God would inevitably judge. No form of immorality will escape. He judges it in this life through ailments and broken families, mental and nervous affliction. But we got to understand that we serve a God who will forgive us if we come to the altar and lay our burdens of sin on Him. He will forgive us. And we turn from our wicked ways, He will forgive us. And I'm so glad that I serve a God of forgiveness. Oh God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb of God. So whatever you've done in your past, let it be your past. Whatever you committed in your past, let it be your past. And God will forgive you. He'll forgive you of your adulterous acts and acts of fornication. Stop it right now. And God promised He will forgive you. And then He says in Hebrews 13:5, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never fail you. Hallelujah. God promised us in this sixth virtue to cultivate is contentment. Remember that the adherents of Judaism were continually saying, we have the tabernacle, we have the priesthood, we have the offerings, we have the beautiful ritual. What do you have? Here's a word the writer of Hebrews quietly says to the Christians, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. I should say so. What the Christian has is so infinitely greater than the best of Judaism. Why shouldn't we be content? We have Christ. That is enough. Hallelujah, somebody. The love of silver can be a tremendous hindrance to the believer. Just as a small silver coin held before the eye comes between it and the sun, so covetousness breaks fellowship with God and hinders spiritual progress. The greatest riches, my beloved, a person can have lie in possessing him who is able and will give you a promise that cannot be broken. The Lord gave us this promise, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm telling you today, that promise is worth any silver and any gold. I say that promise is worth all that we can ever hope for or wish for. He promised never to leave us. And then in verse 6, the writer said, we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I would have no fear. What can mere mortal, mere people do to me? Hallelujah, somebody. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. The psalmist says that I have a confession to make, and that confession is that the Lord is my helper. And since God is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The fact is that in Christ, we have perfect security. Did you hear that? I said, in Christ, we have perfect security. In Christ, we have perfect protection. In Christ, we have perfect peace. Hallelujah. I came to just remind you leaders, remember, keep on teaching the righteousness of Christ. Never, never teach anything other than the word. Thank you, Lord, for this time on the airway. Thank you, Lord, for your peace and your love. Thank you, Lord. Touch all of those over this airwave. Touch their minds. Give them peace. Oh, God, thank you. Give them peace of heart and peace of mind, oh, God. Build up their faith in Jesus' name. You are a good God, and you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.